Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
What we like to sometimes do is set the bar low, and then you clear it. So Bernstein and Rahimi today,
yeah,
they open their show. They go to the calls. This is the first call on Justin Fields' celebration day with the great Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi.
We have some excited Bears fans all ready to go. Let's start with Michael in Decatur on Bernstein and Rahimi on the Score.
Excited.
Good.
Very much so. You know, why it's taking him like the lady said.
Okay, Michael, I'm sorry. I have no idea where you're going with it.
It's incredible.
Wow.
Like the lady said.
Like the lady said is an underrated great part of that call.
The lady.
The lady said.
Like the lady said.
Okay.
Okay.
After the tone, express your feelings about Justin Fields.
Excited.
It's your problem.
That's it. I'm excited. What do you want?
We get a lot of calls. We get a lot of reaction. Pulse of the city. Chicago sports fan going on 30 years, all of that stuff. We like to make promos.
The Bears have made their first round pick, and Score listeners have spoken.
We have some excited Bears fans all ready to go. Let's start with Michael in Decatur on the Score.
Excited.
Good.
Keep it here as our Bears experts continue to break down the trade-up for quarterback Justin Fields.
It's inspiring stuff.
Excited.
I'm so excited.
Excited.
And I just can't hide it.
Excited, like the lady said.
Okay.
I'm about to lose control and I think I like it.
Good.
One, two, three.
And here we go.
Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Thank you all for hanging out with us. Very much appreciate it. We have two pieces of news. Neither good if you like baseball, one much worse than the other. No Cubs game tonight. This is not the lead. Cubs-Dodgers postponed due to weather. Doubleheader tomorrow. Split doubleheader. Seven-inning games. First pitch of the first game at 1:20. Second game at 6:40. So we will have an abbreviated show tomorrow, which I know is devastating to all members of the mob and Chris Tannehill.
That's not why I'm making the noises, though.
No. Rick Hahn is addressing the media right now, and he has shared publicly that Luis Robert has a grade 3 strain, a.k.a. a complete tear of his hip flexor.
And whether he gets surgery or not, either way, I told you rest was important. There is a 12 to 16 week recovery time, whether there's surgery or not. Not allowed to resume baseball activities for 12 to 16 weeks. That is 3 to 4 months. And we are a month and change into the season. That is horrific news. And it means if he's not out the entire season, you might be looking at a September with sudden decisions to make regarding both Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, or you might be looking at a full season without them.
It's a snake-bitten year, man. It's a year from hell. You see it in sports occasionally. You never want it to be your team, But it's a snowball effect. And obviously they're not related, and I'm not suggesting at all that it is causation, but it is correlation where it's just like, oh God. First you get Angle, then you get Eloy, then TA gets hurt, and now you know, weirdness is happening with Giolito, not injury wise, but just sometimes isn't the same. And now there's this with Robert, and it's just a super talented team, the most talented team in the American League on paper. You're going to wake up and you're going to be like, how the hell did that team finish 500? And it feels like this is where this White Sox season is going.
Well, that's a lot of, you know, that those are conversations and realities we have about life. Is it facts or things just happen? And we have those conversations about baseball all the time where things just pile on and start to feel connected in a horrific snake-bitten way.
Speaking of which, Rick Hahn continues to address the media. Adam Engel is now 3 weeks away from a rehab assignment. He had a setback with his hamstring strain.
Oh, my God.
Which put him back to square one.
So he's 3 weeks away from even beginning a rehab assignment.
What's the lineup tonight? Do we have...
They're off.
Okay, yeah. Oh, right. I'm an idiot. They're off today. So the outfield at this point...
Adam Eaton.
Is going to be Eaton...
Lurie Garcia.
And Andrew Vaughn.
A
lot of Andrew Vaughn. Well, that'll get Tony La Russa to play him.
Billy Hamilton. Lot of Billy Hamilton.
Yikes.
Lot of Lurie Garcia and Billy Hamilton. And
no team is built to withstand this type of run production and this type of capital in terms of losses in the year. Like, I understand that doesn't sound good in terms of roster depth, and maybe it would sound sexier with Yasiel Puig's name attached to it or something like that. But
you've got big decisions to make right now if you're Rick Hahn. You are in second place. You're only a month into the year. You're facing the next 3 months at a minimum without Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert. The next month also without Adam Engel. Is this the moment where you think about your pitching excess? You know, you just did it with Dane Dunning for Lance Lynn. But do you think about Jonathan Stever, Jimmy Lambert, or perhaps lower-ranked arms? All the minor league affiliates just got announced today, the rosters. Do you start to think about dealing from your pitching depth at lower levels? How much is left is debatable. And seeing what you can get out there in the trade market for outfielders. And I don't know how many teams are even ready to start offering you veteran outfielders. But...
The thing, man. It takes two to tango. It's way too early for teams to be sellers.
It is certainly time to think about Yasiel Puig. At the very least, it is time to think about Yasiel Puig, whose agent, Rachel Luba, the same one as Trevor Bowers, helped him release a statement through lawyers a few weeks ago that was pretty convincing, frankly, about the very ugly off-the-field stuff that he was accused of from a couple years ago. If you're Rick Hahn, you have to consider that kind of thing immediately.
So Adam Engel set back on the hamstring strain at least 3 weeks before a rehab assignment for him. They described him as going back to square one. And here is how Rick Hahn broke the news about Luis Robert.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. I know we're doing a little bit old school today via conference call instead of via Zoom, and I appreciate your accommodation of that. I'm actually about to head to the airport to catch the plane to Cincinnati, so this works out a little better for me, so thank you. I'm going to provide injury updates on a few players. First and foremost, on Luis Robert. Luis was examined today at Rush Medical Center by lead team physician Nick Verma. A scan showed a grade 3 strain of his hip flexor, which, as you know, represents a complete tear. There's going to need to be further consultation in the coming days with some specialists in the field to determine what precisely will be the next steps. Those options include surgical repair if, in fact, the tear has affected the tendon's attachment to the bone, or a rehabilitation process in which natural healing would take place without surgical intervention if, in fact, the tear is to the muscle as opposed to the attachment between the tendon and the bone. Either way, coincidentally, the timeline is the same, whether there's surgical intervention or rest and rehabilitation. Luis will not resume baseball activities for 12 to 16 weeks. Again, we won't know a timeline until after whatever next steps are determined, but I think it's safe to say in terms of projecting his possible return, it's one too soon to know, and quite frankly, we're not going to be able to provide you with an educated projection of that for another 12 weeks or so as we see how he progresses.
Absolutely brutal news. And, you know, what sucks is sometimes you get a little bit of news like, hey, the x-rays were negative. That's good. Hey, flexor strain. That could be good. Grade one flexor strain. That's just 3-4 weeks. Yeah, but you don't know what it is until you get an MRI and you look at it. And grade three is basically a tear. And because you have to rest.
It's a complete tear, yeah.
It is a complete tear. And because you have to rest for that, whether you have surgery or not, the timeline is the same, and it's a big one.
And so I know this is going to sound hyperbolic, and I don't mean it to be, but at this point, him coming back for this season is honestly a secondary concern. That injury is serious, and a huge part of his value is his speed and his athleticism. How many times have we talked about, man, when Luis Robert runs, it just looks different.
It's one of my favorite things to watch in Chicago sports is that guy running the bases.
And a huge part of his value is defensive value and covering that territory in center field and helping Eloy out in left field. And obviously Eloy is coming back from his own injury. You have Luis Robert under contract, if you count the team options, through the 2027 baseball season.
Yeah, you don't mess around with him at all on this.
At all. If it's 12 weeks, make it 16. If it's 5 months, make it the season. Like you have to have this guy who is what? He's 23 years old? Yeah, he has to fully recover here. He's way too important to the future of your franchise. This isn't like it isn't an ACL surgery where it's like very standard, right? Like this is
and there's a playbook for it. This is a
very serious injury.
This is don't do anything for 12 weeks.
And then we'll see.
And then we'll see.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal. The problem, Danny, is that that is, of course, the right mindset for an athlete like that who've got locked up like that. But you also have Lance Lynn for only this year.
Yep.
You've got Carlos Rodon on a one-year deal. You've got Jose Abreu older. You've got a team that is openly going for it and trying to win the World Series and said so. And now they're dealt with this, and you have decisions to make regarding that. Do you really want to mortgage more of your future by making a deal from depth to try and fill a gaping hole in the outfield right now?
Right. Do you trade? Does Dylan Cease become available in a trade to get super aggressive for right now? That would seem ridiculous to me.
No, that's an interesting name.
Kopech's untouchable.
Not only is Kopech untouchable, but Kopech obviously could be a starter for you at some point. And you've got other guys in Stever and Lambert who could be starters for you at some point. And at some point, you're going to look at Dylan Cease and say, you know what? If you can't throw the first pitch for a strike, if you can't throw strike one, then I don't know what kind of future you actually have, no matter how good your stuff is. And it's best that you make that decision before the rest of the league does.
I guess I meant that it seems ridiculous in the context of a rental. Like, if you're going to go out and trade for Chris Bryant, right, which is going to be the fun sports talk radio topic that everybody talks about, right? Trade Chris Bryant to the White Sox. They need outfield help. He can play the outfield. If you do that...
How about Jock Peterson? Can we interest you in Jock Peterson instead?
Well, no, but if you do that...
He just came back, had to send a pitcher down because he's not better.
He didn't want to be here.
Yeah, but he's not better than any position players on the Cubs, so they sent a pitcher down when he got activated.
I just would not feel comfortable if I'm Rick Hahn trading cost-controlled pitchers, whether they're big leaguers like Dylan Cease or prospects like Stever, for rentals when you don't know if Eloy or Robert are playing again this
year. Can you win without them? Can you win without Eloy and Robert?
But trade for guys that have more than 1 year of control,
okay.
or just sign a guy like Yasiel Puig, right? Like until you know that those guys are coming back this year, I'm not going to go more all in on this season if in 8 weeks you could get the news that Eloy and Robert are out for the whole year.
Who are still the couch free agents? Matt Kemp remains a couch free agent. I know that's super unexciting. I don't know
They're
if he
bad.
Wants to play.
Josh Reddick was the best of the bunch, and he's already been snatched up by Arizona, and he was by far the best option and still not a good option.
Yeah. No, so Josh Reddick was by far the best, like, healthy option to go and play defense for you. Cespedes still remains out there as somebody's DH to be, right? But you got a lot of DH types, I know. Cespedes is a DH. I mean, you're better off with Yermin as your everyday DH than going down that road. If Puig can still run and play corner outfield for you, that's the guy you should call.
Okay, so you want Yasiel Puig over Adam Eaton and Andrew Vaughn?
No, I want him in addition to I want him over Billy Hamilton or Leury Garcia.
That's fine. I look at it, Yasiel Puig is not going to take any at-bats from Billy Hamilton or Leury Garcia because he's not going to play any of the same positions that they will, except for maybe right field one time or left field one time.
Well,
right?
you'd probably push Eaton into center.
I'd be okay with that, man. For the next 3 weeks or so.
You push Eaton into That's center, tough. And I don't know how ready Puig is to play. And there's obviously the off the field stuff, which deserves more consideration and conversation. But yeah, I think Eaton's going to end up playing some center field in the next month or so, unless he's not physically well and he doesn't look it.
I would just, there's got to be someone to sign, whether it's Puig or somebody else. And if you're going to trade for another bat who can play the outfield, I personally would make a huge priority on that guy having more than 1 year left on his contract. No. Because if you go all in and then these guys don't come back, you are in a real tough spot with mortgaging your future here. You've already made the playoffs. You've already checked that box. Like, you have to be smart here. Now, if you think, by the way, if you think Robert and Eloy are coming back for September, then sure, push your chips into the middle and let's go. Let's try to win a World Series with Lance Lynn under contract. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that anyone can have that opinion until you actually have some medical updates. Further down the rehab process on both Eloy and Robert. And again, if you're just joining us, 12 to 16 weeks, no baseball activity, complete tear right. for Luis Robert. Tanny, how are you feeling? I know it's not good, but
yeah, what do you want me to say? I mean, this feels like, you know, this whole season has been a black cloud for the past 6 months, ever since the managerial hire. And that's another layer of this discussion today, because you know this sounds like a clubhouse, according to Jeff Passan, that's in a bit of a turmoil right now. Yeah. So I wonder if this is just a lost season and, you know, don't mortgage your future. And again, going back to the Jonathan Stever and Jimmy Lambert thing,
yeah.
Jonathan Stever couldn't record an out the last time we saw him, and Jimmy Lambert apparently wasn't good enough to make a spot start, crack the roster at any point, even though I liked what I saw from him last year. Mm-hmm. So how much are you going to get for those guys? So
I guess my question is this. If it was, if you're really going to end up dealing from that strength, I think Cease is a really interesting candidate. I know that's can be scary because of the stuff that's there, but then you'd be thinking about other guys stepping in for starts like Stever or Lambert or Reynaldo Lopez or something like that.
Well, the problem is, so then you're going into 2022 with no Cease and no Lance Lynn. So, yep. You know, I don't know what you do there, but I'd be inclined.
And needing to sign Rodon.
Yes.
If that's something you want to do, a Boris client, can you? You think he can? You know, replicate?
Okay, fine. Then and potentially no Rodon. Like it's another hole in the rotation. It's another name.
So you'd be talking about trading someone like Rodon, maybe, if you want to get back into the mix of this thing, which I'm not a fan of doing. Don't do that. I feel like this is just a season where you try to patch it together. Yasiel Puig in the corner. Adam Eaton in center, and see how long you can sustain that. You got a critical stretch of games coming up against your division, and the Royals, who knows if they're a real thing or not. I don't think so. You got a lucky break here by the Twins and their bad start.
Yes, you do. And here's the thing, is that a lot of teams are not really going to be willing to trade with you anyway, because they're not willing to declare themselves sellers. The aforementioned Cincinnati Reds, who have a glut of outfielders, that team can freaking rake, and they're probably going to ride the opportunity of relevance in the Central for a little while, even though they're not, the record is not very good. I think because it's so early and because part of your instinct is going to be to just chalk it up as one of those years, they're going to try and patch it together.
Passan says that they are going to explore looking for a replacement,
sure.
But who knows what that means? Of course, they'll kick the tires and do their due diligence here. And again, you're right, Tanny. Passan in his 10 things column today mentioning that because of some of the questionable managerial decisions, and questionable as being kind, that there are some in the clubhouse who are already growing impatient with Tony La Russa.
Mm. Where's Yolky Cespedes?
It's a good question. The Charlotte roster got announced. Yolky's not on it. Yolky is Yoenis Cespedes' little brother. International signing by the White Sox. They think he's raw, but he's also kind of old. He's 23. So you wonder how raw he really is. The minor league rosters just got announced today. So you're just starting to get a feel for these guys. The Charlotte outfielders, the AAA White Sox outfielders are Nick Williams. Remember him?
He cleared. Yeah, we remember him.
He cleared waivers. Blake Rutherford. Oh, I remember him. That's a Nick Hostetler acquisition. Luis Gonzalez, who you've seen here already for a brief moment. And then Mikey Matuk and Joel Booker. So if you're looking for utility there, there's not a lot that's very exciting there.
Man, I'm not Bernstein. I'm not going to play a doctor on the radio here. But doesn't it feel like, I say that and they say but, like the torn pec for Eloy, your power hitter.
Yeah.
It could change the swing.
Could absolutely right? change the power. You have to be super careful for the rest of his rehab.
That is a fundamentally unique and devastating injury for him as a player, the type of player he is. And then Luis Robert completely tears his hip flexor, a unique injury for the type of athlete and runner that he is. These aren't, it's not Achilles, it's not Tommy John, it's not ACL. These are not standard playbook injuries. Like, yeah. You really have legitimate concerns about both of those guys coming back and being who they are. Modern medicine's incredible. They'll get the best possible attention. They're young, they're resilient. I'm sure they'll work through it to the best of their abilities. But man, that is just terrible, terrible, terrible luck. And I feel awful for both of them. Yes, the White Sox and the rebuild and all of it, but man, you just hate to see like young guys who haven't realized their full potential yet. I mean, we're talking about Luis Robert as being a top five guy in baseball and competing for MVP awards.
Certainly the potential for that has looked very improved offensively, even though he still swings and misses like crazy. But yeah, man,
Texter's talking about the Tony La Russa curse.
Oh, yeah. Look, I understand that thought process. The black cat of La Russa, karmic insurrection that was done by Jerry Reinsdorf going over everybody's head, including his GM, to bring in a guy with a lot of issues. And here we are. Now Tony's got a mess to handle. And
they're all out, too, before Shane can even use the first game of his season tickets.
Seriously, dude. Like,
how are you doing?
I know
over
it's
there,
just baseball. I know it's just a game, but
no, man,
it's so sad. It's so sad to have all these legitimate expectations where you know there's something real. So there's a depth in the foundation of your excitement. And now it's just like, I need U.S. waterproofing. I need them to come fix my foundation because I am...
They're good.
I am
now look
sad.
It's completely understandable. You, like, invested White Sox fans have watched for 5 years. And just like the 2015 Cubs... The 2020 White Sox gave you a thrill, gave you a bonus year, and put you in the playoffs. And you didn't advance, but it was just a taste. And this is supposed to be their 2016. You just saw it play out, where the final year of the vision magically came true for the Cubs. And this is supposed to be that same kind of year, or at least a successful year, or at least a get-close year. It's supposed to feel great for White Sox fans right now, and they're robbed of it. That sucks.
It's awful, man. That is sports sadness right there. So, again, Adam Engel, setback, 3 weeks with the hamstring. Luis Robert, grade 3 tear, hip flexor, 12 to 16 weeks, no baseball activity. Further updates to come, but his season very much in jeopardy. And no, you cannot blame me for being the mush.
I did definitely
win the pennant.
People will.
Can't do that. Can't do it. We'll follow up on this as we get more of your reaction to terrible White Sox news. Again, the Cubs game tonight postponed. Day-night split doubleheader tomorrow. And I want to circle back around to something you said about Justin Fields earlier as well. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
More fun than being a White Sox fan.
Tough times for the White Sox. Luis Robert,
man.
12 to 16 weeks, no baseball activities. Rick Hahn addressing the media, saying they haven't ruled out Luis Robert playing again this season, but a lot of things have to happen between now and then. Adam Engel set back to square one with his hamstring injury. Rick Hahn says they will explore the outfielder market. If it's me, I'm not punting on the season.
It's too early to do that.
Definitely. But I'm not mortgaging the future to put more chips in the middle of this season.
That's fair.
I'm interested in signing free agents or trading for guys with multiple years left on their contract and acquiring more information on the Luis Robert and Eloy injury news. But it feels to me like we're heading towards a season from hell, snake bit, lost year type of situation on the South side.
It's certainly been a month plus of that. And you're still in second place, and you're behind a Kansas City Royals team
that could fall apart at any minute from you.
At any moment. And Cleveland has looked very flawed, and the Twins have thankfully somehow been a disaster, even though Byron Buxton is the player of the month and one of the best players in the game right now. I think that's going to be the sensible approach, to not scramble and mortgage the future right now. And to just fill in the blanks as best you can with the guys you have, Billy Hamilton, Leury Garcia, maybe revisit the Nick Williams experience. Think if there's a kid like Luis Gonzalez or maybe even Yolky Cespedes, who you just acquired, and search the couch free agents and think about Yasiel Puig. You do all that stuff and you try to piece it together. Hey, you got a Hall of Fame manager. What do you got? What do you got? Let's go. Show me what you got and buy yourself a month. And in a month, some other teams will be ready to declare themselves sellers. And you can see where you are.
Sure. How they play will make the decision a lot clearer for Rick Hahn and the medicals. Like if he says, okay, if they win 15 in their next 20 and Eloy looks like a shoo-in to come back in August, different equation than if you lose 15 in your next 20 yeah. and he's likely out for the season, right?
The problem is you're not getting clarity on either of those guys till well after the season's fate in the binary is decided.
Yeah, you can't count on either of those guys.
No.
You have to operate as if they're not coming back and just try and compete without mortgaging the future.
They will both be Schwarber-like stories if they came back. Now you have two. You have two options for the 2016 Schwarber story. But you have to get to the playoffs without both of them to see if either one of them can pay off.
Okay, so now...
So brutal,
two
man.
Things come to mind. One, a texter reminded us of, not that we ever forgot it. Texter says, and there will be a work stoppage in 2022, so we're screwed.
Freaking White Sox, man.
So that is the glass is never half full.
Oh,
it's always three quarters empty.
You know, I used to... I mean, I still do. Like, there's totally an inferiority complex or, like, a self-defense insecurity
yeah.
about the fan base. But because a lot of them think that terrible things always happen to them. This feels pretty terrible.
Yeah. And the strike in 94 cut short that team's success and chances. And, yeah, of course. And then there's the part about Tony La Russa, who is causing problems in the clubhouse, according to Jeff Passan, who has... made very questionable decisions multiple times, probably leading to some losses and making Lucas Giolito upset at him, all those sort of things.
Yeah.
Now,
I didn't like the look of Giolito. Well, Giolito, when he got pulled last night, I think he essentially kind of pulled himself. That was an interesting dynamic, but it's one start after the last time when he was left out there and hung out to dry. So it's a developing situation and the least of their problems, frankly.
And certainly the least of their problems, but I don't think Jerry can fire Tony, but in theory, Tony could say, whew, game's too fast for me, in over my head, let me come up and be an advisor for you, save some face, and I can just watch the games with my good friend Jerry Reinsdorf. But doesn't this feel like it makes it less likely that Tony La Russa steps away if he can point to, hey, it wasn't me. We had all these injuries.
And also, what do you want Tony La Russa advising right now?
I'm not saying that you're going to want him advising.
That's what he wants to do. Get out, go do his thing.
I'm saying
again.
They're not. If this goes as horribly for 6 months as it's gone for 1 month with Tony La Russa, Jerry's not firing him. The press conference is not White Sox fire Tony La Russa. It's Jerry Reinsdorf and Tony La Russa mutually agree that Tony La Russa will join the front office as special advisor to the traveling secretary, right? It'll be the softest landing possible.
Sure. And it would be health issues. It'd be health issues or, you know, fatigue issues or whatever. But
doesn't it strike you guys as
director
a little...
Director of Amateur Scouting in Siberia.
Right. No,
doesn't it strike you as a little less likely?
That is a... Because that will read... as jumping from a sinking ship.
Yeah.
That's how that will read. And that's not the flavor Tony's looking for in his final meal here. in the big leagues. I've thought for a few weeks now, and Tony's one and done. He will suck it. Stick it out. Excuse me.
Take your time.
He'll stick it out, and he's a one and done.
There's no way you can spin this any way to make anyone look good. You're not going to fire him. Jerry's not going to fire him. He's not going to walk away because then he's going to look like a quitter, and he's a Hall of Famer. Not going to do that.
Right.
That's why I said, just, I don't know. Shane's the analogy man around here. I don't know, whatever the analogy is for when you have to let something play its course before you can do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not many things in life that have that opportunity, but you have to let the season play through and let it happen whatever happened. Maybe get a draft pick out of the season that you didn't expect.
The correct phrase is let it play out, as evidenced by a very successful segment on the Spiegel and Parkin show.
You did everything in your power to not mention Let It Play
Out. He didn't
out.
Like that show. Rick
Camp owns that drop. I can't play it.
Yeah, I get
always
it.
Steal from him anyway.
Go Bears! He didn't like the Spiegel and Parkin show. It was a very, very different thing. Hey,
let him alienate your clubhouse. Let the roster find its way to 75 wins. And then, you know what? It just didn't work out. We're going to move on. We'll hire literally anyone. I don't care who it is.
Maybe A.J. Hinch will be unsatisfied in Detroit. You can get another shot at that. Let me tell you something. You know who's starting in center field tonight for the first time since his rookie season in 2015 in terms of just available, theoretically, center fielders? Chris Bryant gets the start
from
in
the lineup.
Center field.
Pulled from the lineup.
Hug watch!
Hug watch tomorrow at 1
o'clock.
They
canceled the game. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's not really raining. Why did they cancel the game? Huh? They're afraid of rain? No. I want Bryant to get hurt before the blockbuster.
That didn't take long. Didn't take us long to get there. Yeah, I'll take Kopech.
Yeah.
I'll take Kopech.
Out of your mind?
Yes, I am out of my mind. I'm kidding. I mean, KB's playing really well right now. MVP 4.
Yeah, enjoy that for 5 months.
Oh, yeah.
Then what?
I know. I know that
my son needs me.
I'll take him.
I would hope so.
I got to tell you.
Yeah, I would love that guy.
Shane's Cubs shots are only going to get worse the angrier he gets this year.
Ding, ding.
We didn't even get to the Javi Baez situation.
He's such a baby. Such a baby. The biggest showboat in baseball. Your teammate gets struck out. Amir Garrett, who is phenomenal, points at you. And you got to come out there flipping him off like you're this big tough guy?
Take your medicine
and sit down.
Did Tim Anderson do anything wrong when he threw the bat at his own dugout?
No.
Okay. Would he have done anything wrong if he threw the bat at the Kansas City Royals dugout?
No.
The answer is yes.
No. Oh, my God.
In the state
you're
of baseball's
soft,
rules.
You old baseball weirdos.
No.
You're also soft.
Hey, I'm allowing the passion. I'm just telling you where the state of the current baseball unwritten rules are.
It's where the line is, Shane. Can't cross the line.
Hey, man. And Tim
Won't
Anderson.
Somebody think of the children
Tim
about
Anderson
this line?
Is changing the game. But even he admitted it was towards his own dugout. You don't do it at the other dugout with certain things like that.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Hey,
it does not matter.
In the NBA, do they trash talk the other team towards their own bench? It would be ridiculous.
No, they trash talk directly.
They trash talk
each other.
Directly.
Reggie Miller literally said he's choking Spike Lee. That was at the other bench. Reggie Miller did the choke sign to Spike
Lee. Well, then your issue is about all of baseball then.
My issue is with...
That is my
because
issue.
Let me tell you this. If this happened... Right, and it was a Twins pitcher that did that to Jose Abreu, and he walked away just normal, and then Moncada came flying out of the dugout and had his back. You'd be like, my team, we support each other, we got each other's back.
No, don't put that in my mouth. Don't do that.
Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Give me the whip.
Don't put those words in my mouth. I would say that
hit me with the whip.
Whoa.
I hope Chris Tannehill just pulls the I want to be a rock star that you just said and uses it forever and for always.
Yeah, I would call Yoan Moncada equally soft.
Don't put that in my mouth.
You
know what it is? It's a Yerminator burger. He doesn't want that in his mouth. Ugh. It's too bland.
No, you got to admit, it is a little weird where it's like I can beat my chest and yell, at my dugout, but 45 degrees the other direction, bench clearing brawl justified. That's a weird 45 degrees. Here, good. Here, not good.
I'm not saying the bench clearing brawl is justified. It's not a brawl. Listen, yesterday.
The kerfuffle, the brouhaha. I heard your terminology.
Yes,
I was listening.
It's not a brawl. There are no brawls anymore. Hasn't been a brawl since the Diamondbacks and all the coaches got involved, or the White Sox and Tigers with, was it Jeff Weaver? in that one. Remember that? Oh, now that was a brawl.
Dean Palmer, Bobby Higginson, and the boys.
Yeah.
Tony Clark standing idly by.
Give it to me.
Hey, guys, Devontae Adams just posted a picture of a goat on the edge of a cliff.
Oh, wow.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
All right, and
football.
Before you break, and before we need to stray away from Javi Baez for a second, because I have a tweet from my guy, Greg Gabriel.
Hey, my guy, too.
Our guy, Greg Gabriel, that I need to read on the show.
Oh, he's rock solid.
This is 2 minutes ago. All these experts, parentheses, media, saying Justin Fields should start right away is total BS. Did Mahomes start as a rookie? One game, week 17, parentheses. Did Rodgers start as a rookie? No, not until year 4. The best way to ruin a young QB, young capitalized, is to play him before he's ready. So, Danny, total BS.
Greg nails it once again, man.
Once again. Also, he's out on Lori Lightfoot. We talked about that on Friday, me and Greg.
He literally has no idea what he's talking about. And I'm using literally correctly there. He is wrong.
Experts.
Hey, those are the examples. I think Steve McNair is the other one. That'll get brought up on the positive. Yep. Terry Bradshaw, aged, old, get off my lawn, Terry Bradshaw, said, play him. Peyton Manning threw 29 interceptions. I threw 26. Aikman threw 24.
What about Justin Herbert last year? Was I the only one who stayed up late enough to watch those 325 kicks?
How about...
Guy had 31 touchdowns against 10 interceptions and completed two-thirds of his passes.
I'm glad this came back around. How about the Miami Dolphins, who won a bunch of games with Ryan Fitzpatrick and then put Tua Tagovailoa in there and tried to hang on and then went back to Fitzpatrick, back to Tua, yada, yada, but they went 10-6 with both of them, and they let the veteran Fitzpatrick hold it down for a while. Don't you think the Bears might think about it that way? I'm not saying they should, but I suspect they're going to think about it that way.
I hope they play him. We'll see. We got a long time to figure it out. My guess is this one's going to be fairly straightforward, and it's going to be obvious who the best player on the team is, and it's not going to be old-ass Andy Dalton. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Hey, happy Monday, baby. Baby. Hey, if you got to go to work or go to school, hey, Monday, go yourself, baby. Hey, Monday, go yourself. Yeah, happy Monday, baby. Yeah, if you got to go to work or go to school, hey, Monday, go yourself.
There's
White Claws, baby. Mondays, baby. White Claw Monday, baby. Baby, Mondays.
I don't know. I wasn't feeling it.
I like it.
I like his fried chicken Wednesday.
He hates Mondays.
Go F yourself Monday.
Just rolls off the tongue. That's how White Sox fans are feeling, in fairness.
Yeah, they are. It's true.
Good Lord.
Okay.
So you want to trade Carlos Rodon?
If you're going to trade pitching, he ends up making the most sense. His value is super, super high. He's on a one-year, $3 million deal. He is likely, as a Scott Boras client, to go try and get as much as he can after a successful prove-it contract on this one-year season. But, I mean, maybe he wants to still be here. But I don't know about how much room there is for him if Kopech is going to start and if you're committed to Dylan Cease, which they appear to be. I don't know about that, obviously. But I think there's a lot of value in Carlos Rodon right now.
I have no problem with that conceptually. I think the key is don't be unrealistic about what this season has become. Can't throw good money after bad, right? Gamblers, just one of the rules of gambling. You could still compete this year. You still have Giolito. You've got Lynn. You've got Keuchel. You've got Kopech. You got a great bullpen. You got plenty of talent on the team. You still could compete this year. But your margin for error is basically gone. You've lost, a 5-win center fielder in Luis Robert and a potential 40 home run guy in Eloy? It's just no it's team so can overcome that, right?
And the most likely backup for both of them in Adam Engel.
And he will at least be back at some point this year. But for now, this stretch of time, right, you're down all three of them. So the Dodgers couldn't overcome that type of loss if they both end up being season ending. So just don't try to, at the beginning of the year, if it was a World Series or bust year, and now a month in, if it is no longer going to be a World Series or bust year, It's just you don't want these injuries to start bleeding into next year or the year after that or the year after that. So I'd be very careful with what I traded away. Rodon would fit the bill, though, by the way, because he's not under contract for next year.
Lance Lynn not under contract for next year either. I mean,
I do think you could make the playoffs this year.
Without Rodon.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but if you end up choosing a course of just like chalking it up to a lost year, then all of a sudden Lance Lynn becomes incredibly valuable.
Oh, if they lose 15 of their next 20, you should. Theo would talk about this all the time, that when you're in your window of contention, the opportunity to replenish doesn't really come around very often. So if and when it does, you have to pounce on it. So, yeah, I mean, if the White Sox are out of it in 2 months, you've got to trade both of them and more probably.
We'll have time to talk about this. Cubs' first game of the doubleheader is tomorrow, but it's only a 7-inning game, so we'll have to show. But let me just say this. This is going to embolden the strategic tendencies of Tony La Russa. Speed, defense, small ball. This is going to embolden. You've lost a lot of home runs. And I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, the funny thing is they have not been relying on the home run at all. They're like bottom, you know, 5th percentile in the league of home runs this year. So they've been winning at a decent clip without having to rely on the home run. So hopefully they can keep that going. But part of that is because of the speed and the contact of Luis Robert.
We still debuting the first song of the Justin Fields album tomorrow after the Cubs game?
The first song, as well as the album title of the Justin Fields parody album, will be debuted tomorrow.
Okay. Hub Arkish is coming up next, then the Bulls. We didn't get to the Bulls today. Playoff dreams are basically over. You now need to, you want to lose. They probably can't get into the bottom six. They're right back at that 7th spot. And then hope you win the lottery and get in the top 4 because your draft pick is protected. It's been a disastrous stretch for the Bulls, and I think they're probably, I know they're still technically alive for it, but I would be betting against them now making the playoffs.
Oh, certainly.
And
certainly.
I bet on them to make it, so that's suboptimal.
Danny Mush, good day for Danny Mush.
Yeah, that was fun.
Shane is shaking his head.
We had Terry Bradshaw on with Dave Wannstedt. That was just electric
fun. Find it. Top of the 4 o'clock hour. It's tremendous.
It was a ridiculous, ridiculous experience. Olin Kreutz was on the show. Jason Benetti played Spiegel Idol today.
If you love baseball play-by-play and want to learn, Jason Benetti gave a masterclass at 3 o'clock on this show.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. Hub Arkish coming up next before Bulls basketball. Thanks to Brian Gertz, Shane Reardon, Chris Tannehill. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, one of those things. Not a good one of those things, but one of those things.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.